Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another evening, Thursday evening, for the Power of Business, Healing the Hurt program. My name is Joe Cooper. I'll be your host for this evening. And I want to thank you for taking out your time to join us on this day's program. We, as always, are looking forward to having a very interesting conversation today and topic. We're going to be talking about will God test you? Will God test you? We are waiting for a couple of our families to come in before we get started. Let's give them one moment, please. Thank you. Thank you. We do have someone who has joined us in, Pastor Tucker. Good evening, sir. And how are you, sir?
Doing fine, Brother Cooper. How are you, sir?
I'm still a little bit under the weather, but other than that, sir, I'm doing fine. But, hey.
I pray that tomorrow you'll be standing on top of the weather.
That is. I know. With your prayer, I know that it will be heard. I thank you so much, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I had been on for a couple of seconds there, and I was waiting for someone else to join in before I start to read the dialogue for today. we're talking about, will God forgive you? Now, that's a touching subject there. So a lot of people have
will
a
God
lot
forgive
of
forgive you or will God? You said, will God test you the first time?
Will God test you? I'm sorry. God test you, not forgive you? No. Oh, we.
Okay.
Where'd that come from? Yeah, will he test you? That's what we're talking about today. Will God test you? And, someone get right on into it. I'm going to try to wait for someone else to come in, but I guess I'll just go on and open up with a little prayer and we go forward. Dear Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, my God, we come to you in prayer this evening. And I want to thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come to you and have you in our presence again on this Thursday evening for this discussion, Lord, and to help to open up the ears and the minds of those non-believers and some of them who believe as to what's really going on with your word and how you feel that things may be. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all of your teaching that you've given us here on the Power of Forgiveness. We're going to use your word, Lord, according to your will. So let every word of our mouth, from our mouth, be accepted in your sight, Lord. So that you may get the glory. In the precious name of Jesus. And I pray for those who are not on the call, but they're coming on. I thank you for this lovely day in this world. And we give you all the glory in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay.
Amen.
Will God test you? God will allow things to happen in your life so that he gets the glory. It will come a time in your life when God will test you to see if you will be obedient to his calling on your life. He will use some people to test you. Though through the feelings you have for them, for that person. He will use some people to test you through the feelings that you have for that person. Excuse me. You can think of something about what that person is doing. You think it is right, but it be all wrong. This usually stems from a mindset that is not always easy to tell when God is speaking or when someone else is. We have all wondered how we can know we are hearing from God, and often struggle with the thought of it being something he actually told us to do or something we made up. How do we know where to do what is right and what is actually a test to see if we will grow from the experience? Your spouse tell you they're going to the store. In your mind, they're lying. In your mind, they're lying, and you're thinking something totally different than them saying that they're going to the store. But when they return, they have all these groceries where it had to take a lot of time to shop to get all of this stuff. This is a test. Did you grow from it? excuse me. When I turned 72 years of age, I want to acknowledge we have a Minister Love. She's joining us. Good evening, Minister Love.
Good evening. How are you and everybody else that's on the call?
Good evening, Minister Love.
Everyone is fine.
Reverend Tucker, good evening.
Good evening. How are you, Miss Love?
I'm great.
Good.
Hope you're doing well.
Doing very well, thank you. Doing very well. Good to hear you.
Yes, sir.
I was just reading this dialogue here, and I'm going to complete it here. I was saying, When I turned 72 years of age, a few days ago, that is the time of my breakthrough. God would test you right before your breakthrough. One of the key areas in which God will arrange for a test to come your way in this life would be you are getting ready to walk into the heart of your true calling for Him. Walk into your true calling for Him. This was a definite pattern of God, the Father, in both the Old Testament and the New. If God is calling you to be a great pastor, a great Bible teacher, or a great evangelist, rest assured that you will have a big test coming your way right at the point that you are actually getting ready to walk right into that actual calling. And when this test does come your way, it is absolutely imperative that you take this test very, very seriously, as it will determine whether or not God will actually promote and release you into your true calling for Him. Flunk this test, and you will either lose the call altogether, or you will cause a major delay to occur as to when you will be actually released to move into that calling. God gave four powerful examples, with one being done by His very own Son, Jesus. Four specific tests from the Bible. Obedience, the test of obedience. Test of patience, test of faith and belief, and then the sin test. The Son Jesus, He sent His Son Jesus out into the desert, and He was being tempted by the devil to commit sin. Pastor Chuck, I know I said a whole lot, and I was coughing halfway through it, but can you elaborate on the sin where God tests you? Now, I talked to someone earlier today, and they told me someone who's supposed to be really, really in the Bible and a Bible scholar, they tell me it was not a scripture in the Bible where it speaks of God testing you, and that he won't test you because He already knows. Well, the Bible says that, that He already knows. And He already knew what was going to happen with Jesus when He was out there being tested by the devil. He knew how the outcome was going to be, but He allowed it to happen. I'm beginning to feel a little bit better now after coughing and carrying on before I got on the call. I'm beginning to feel a little better. But can you, Pastor Tucker, elaborate on that? Will God touch you? You've been a man of God.
Brother Cooper, I think sometimes we need to distinguish between tempting and testing. the scripture does say that God does not tempt us of evil. So there's not a place where God tempts us. But I think there is a scripture where it talks about how God tested Israel and proved them in the wilderness. And I think that whether it's God allowing us to be tested or whether we are tested by God, we're going to be tested. And just like any manufacturer would test the product before putting it on the market, I agree with you that you have to be tested to see whether you're going to be able to fulfill what the manufacturer wants us to fulfill. I believe that God tested Abraham when he told him to go and offer Isaac up as a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. I believe God allowed Jesus to be tempted. Now, the scripture says that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, led him into the wilderness to be tempted. So, but he was tempted by Satan. But he had to be proven to God. He had to be proven that he was able to move now into the ministry that God had called him to after 30 years. So I think you're absolutely right that we have to be tested. The scripture says that the trying of our faith or the testing of our faith worketh patience. And you will not know or develop patience unless you have been tested to the point where you can be patient. And I think it's with many of the fruit of the Spirit, even with the perhaps all of the fruit of the Spirit, there has to be a testing in order for the fruit to come forth. Temperance, the self-control, you have to be tested to see whether you have it or not. Otherwise, you don't know where you're able to control yourself if you're never up against any opposition. The love that Jesus required of us, you'll never know that you're able to love your enemies or that you're able to bless those that curse you unless it's tested. You'll never know that you're able to forgive and what you're able to forgive unless you're tested. So I think that to the extent that you say that even someone who doesn't trust someone and that person proves to be trustworthy, you may have tested them in your own mind, but the more they prove themselves to be trustworthy, then the more they pass the test in your mind. And then right. The more you come to a place that you're able to trust, because now, whether it was jealousy or insecurity or whatever that brought you to that place of distrust, now because of the trustworthiness and the faithfulness and the consistency, now you come to a place of trusting. And that's how we come to have faith in God as well. When God Amen. Proves himself, he said, try me, prove me, and see if I won't take care of you. See if I won't bless mm-hmm. you. And the more we test or try or prove God through our faith, the stronger our faith becomes, the stronger the blessings become that we receive, and the more we are able to trust God without that doubt, which is actually faith. When we don't doubt and we trust God. So I think it's a good topic because sometimes we think that when we're going through something that it's merely the devil doing it to us. But no matter which way you go, if you go through any grade level in school, you're going to have to take a test to move to the next grade level. If you go to graduate from any college or any trade school or any program, you're going to have to take a test to see whether or not you are able to, you've acquired this amount of knowledge, whether you're able to put this in practice, and whether or not you're ready to move to the next level. So life gives us those kind of tests as well. And I think that that's a very important part of life. It's a painful part. And sometimes it seems to be an unfair part, but it is a part of life that is necessary if we're going to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as Jesus said, on the one hand, he said, told his disciples, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And the only way you can find that out is you have to test the yoke. You have to be tested. The yoke has to be tested. The faith has to be tested. The knowledge has to be tested. So those are my thoughts on the subject.
And that's very, very good, sir. Very good. And I thank you so much for that, because when I believe that we are at a stage now in our lives, especially the saints of God, where God is reaching out to us, and he's reaching out to everyone. But especially his chosen one, to get them prepared to go into the next level, the breakthrough. The breakthrough is to where he wants them to be in order to help to save other souls. And we here on the Power of Forgiveness, we all are obligated, I feel, to prepare ourselves for the breakthrough if we're not already there. Because God is definitely calling us and his people to get ready for the coming of his son Jesus. And if we're not prepared all the way, we're not going to make it. I just turned 72 years old a few days ago. And up until then, I was going through, but I hadn't broken. But that night, I sit on my bed and I was praying, and I watched the clock turn from the year of my age of 71 to me being 72, 1 year. And that split second that that clock turned to 12 is when I felt my breakthrough, that I have dedicated my whole entire life to God, to Christ. Now, what prepared me for that? I had crazy feelings, a mindset, thinking of something that wasn't so. It's no big thing. No big thing, but it's just something that a saint of God should not be in that frame of mind. Such as, I had a friend, I had a lot of phone calls for my birthday wishes. And this one friend hadn't called me. I hadn't heard from her or anything. And I heard from other friends that I hadn't heard from in years. I wasn't even expecting to hear anything. But this one particular one, I didn't hear from her. And I was thinking, she hasn't called and wishing her happy birthday. But then she sent me a message through the phone message and wishing me a happy Valentine's Day. So I texted her and told her, you wish me a happy Valentine's Day along with several other of your friends, but you thought nothing of my birthday. And I said to her, you are just a test. That's where the word test was birthed in me to talk about. You are just a test. And after I sent the text to her, I looked on my timeline and on my Facebook page, and there it was. She had sent me a birthday wish. So I was wrong. And I allowed my feelings to dictate to me. Now, was that the devil? Is that the way the devil works with us? Is that the way he tried to control us? But I'm saying yes. It is. It was the devil. Because it certainly wasn't God. For me to sit back and write that. And then my beloved friend and Minister Love, bless her heart, she called me and says, "How was your birthday?" I said, "It was good." She said, "Well, I was determined that I just wasn't going to, how would she phrase it? I wasn't going to bother you on your birthday." And, but I thought about her not calling me on my birthday. And I said, that's not like her. But that was another one of their feelings where the devil tried to make me start thinking about not caring and, you know, just like to want to say something to her about not calling me or wishing me ever. That's why I spoke about this spouse going shopping and the other spouse thinking, you're lying, you're not going shopping, you're out there doing, fooling around or flirting around. But the person come home with all of these things indicating that they had been shopping. So, Minister Love,
yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes, I test and trials. I share with Brother Joe that I'm definitely going through myself with some test and trials with my children. But I only believe that they come to make us strong and make us depend more, even greater on God. It is the outcome that's going to be a blessing, whether we believe it or not. We just have to hold steady and hold fast and embrace them and embrace the tests that we have. Joe, do you mind if I share my little story?
Go right ahead on, Joe. I want the people to hear you. I want them to hear this story. Really.
Mm-hmm. I haven't talked to my son since Christmas. And I believe I know the reason why, because I asked them to do something for me, and they chose not to do it. And so I believe it's messing with their conscience. But I was telling Brother Joe this afternoon, you know, it gets to a point in life where you have to just sit back and let the Lord work it out. And that's where I am. So in essence, one of them did call me and say, "Well, I haven't heard from you." I said, "Okay." And he said, "Well, I'm your son." I said, "Yes, you are. And I'm your mother, and I'm praying for you continuously." But it's the fact that they are honestly a little selfish, and I'm to the point where that me and selfish don't get along, because that's not how I raised my sons to be, but that's where they are. But anyway, So I said, Lord, I'm just going to stay out of the way and let you work this out. And so they choose not to correspond with me, and I'm okay with that. Because if I wasn't okay, I would, you know, be feeling bad. But the part that really is messing with me is that, you know, I want them to be a part of my family's life, but they choose not to. And I don't understand that. I said, but yet you want to gravitate to the other family. I said, okay. But they don't like me not, you know, communicating with them, which is okay. That's their issue. It's not mine. But I told Joe, I said, you know, I feel like there's a dagger in my heart. If I hear them say no one more time, I'm not sure. I don't want it to drive it even further in, if that's making sense. So I'm going to have to let the Lord work on this. But see, I know it's their conscience that's eating them alive. But one thing I can say, and they know this, and from the bottom of their heart, if they came to me right today and said, Mama, I need, I'm like, okay. It would be like nothing ever, you know, like this happened between us. And they would never understand that because they're not there with me. I mean, they're not there with me. It's like, I love God. I said, I'm not going to treat you like you treat me. So, I look at it as a test and a place, a position of me staying in place and let the Lord work on them however he sees fit. And another thing I told Joe, I said, you know, one thing about them, they can pick up the phone and call and hear my voice, but I can't pick up the phone to call and hear my mother's voice. So they're still blessed. So I love my sons, and I'm waiting for the Lord to, if he tells me to just, you know, reach out to him, I'm going to reach out. I'm going to be obedient, but it's not my time. It's his time, because when they come back, their hearts need to be right. Both of our hearts need to be right, but like I said, I know that they're staying away from me because they know that they have not done what they're supposed to do. But again, I embrace it. I love the Lord. I trust him. I just love him so much that, I don't know.
Amen. Well, you know what? That is very, very powerful there and strong. As far as feelings are concerned. And you know, you could, but see, God has you. He has you, I think, in a place now where you have already stepped into your breakthrough. I feel that you've already stepped into your breakthrough because you're able to deal with it the way that you are. I heard you use the word obedient. You're patient. You know, these are some of the things that, and you got faith and belief. These are some of the four reasons why. I mean, examples God gave as far as being in your breakthrough. Feelings will cause us to really get out of sync with the Lord, so to speak, if we allow the devil to use us and to alter our minds, mess with our minds, tell us that this is one way or the other. Speaking of family, people go through changes. Some changes God allowed them to go through changes so that they can get to know Him. You can sit back on the outside looking at a situation, and you look at that person and you say, man, nothing is working at all for that person. Nothing. Everything is being destroyed, falling apart. But then you look at the lifestyle, and then you can sit back and see why. But then is when you have to be patient and let God do His thing. I can see a lot in my family also where people are hurt and going through so much. I got a call a few days ago where my niece and her husband just bought a new home. A brand new home. And now they're talking about, they haven't even been in the house a year. And now they're talking about a divorce.
Oh, wow.
You know, and what kind of, I don't know what type of advice to give her when she asks for it. I don't know. Just be patient. Be patient. I mean, the devil is—he's at work in a lot of people's lives. And now we, Pastor Tucker, you are my spiritual advisor as well as our spiritual advisor. Do you take the initiative to try to speak to someone about that? That's a life-changing situation. And you got to know exactly what you're talking about or how you feel before you go speaking that word. So, pardon me?
When you say life-changing situation, which situation were you were what are you referring to?
Oh, I'm talking about my niece, where she's talking about divorcing her husband and ending the divorce. And just bought the home. Just moved into it not a year ago. Mm-hmm.
I believe that in almost any situation where feelings have become involved, you're not going to help someone change with feelings. And I think that's, you know, from your example of the person earlier with the person going to the grocery store, just
right.
Because the person, mm-hmm. you know, came back with groceries doesn't mean that the problem has been resolved in the person who didn't trust. Because
mm-hmm.
if you're not a trusting person, it's going to take a lifetime to convince that person. And it's probably going to be every other situation that the feeling is going to come back. And I think it's the same thing in situations with our children, our parents. When you operate out of your feelings, you're going to need feelings to heal your feelings. And so you're going to have that other person constantly proving to you or telling you how, you know, much you can trust them or showing you how much you can trust them. But it's not going to resolve the problem because the distrust is in you. And it's the same thing when you try to change someone else. I remember years ago, my father and I had a difference, and this was years before he passed. And I was so upset with him, I didn't call him for a year. He didn't call me. Mm-hmm. I didn't call him. I talked to my mom. And then one day I was talking to a friend of mine, and my friend said, well, Ralph, how's your parents doing? You know, when's the last time you talked to your dad? I said, it's been almost a year. He said, what? He said, the way you and your dad always talk? I said, yes. He said, well, why don't you call him? And I said, well, he's the one that was upset with me, and, you know, so on and so forth. He said, Ralph, now look. He said, you know you're stubborn. You know your father's stubborn. He said, what would it hurt you to pick up the phone and just call him and tell him hello? Tell him you love him, anything. He said, would it be any, would it take any skin off your back? And I said, no. I picked up the phone. I called my father. He was happy to hear from me. And from that day until the day he died, we talked all the time. And we didn't even have to go through what caused the separation. Because it wasn't really about the feelings. My son used to, I'd call my son, try to keep up with my son. Sometimes he'd call back. Sometimes I'd call him and not hear from him for 2 weeks. And it was not anything on his part. He was just living his life and doing his thing. It wasn't that he was upset with me or anything. And then finally, I just got out of my feelings. And I said, well, whenever I think about him, I'll give him a call. Sometimes I just call him and leave him a message. But when I got out of my feelings, it took all of that away. I wasn't trying to change him. I wasn't trying to, you know, tell, make him feel guilty for not calling me or anything like that. It took the burden away. And I think that what happens with us so often is, just like you with your birthday, it's so easy to get into your feelings.
Amen.
When we get out of our feelings, it's not that the other person doesn't care or doesn't think about us half the time. It's that they're busy. They're living their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the pressures in their life cause them to be under certain strain. And then now we call them, criticizing them because they didn't do what we wanted them to do or didn't do what we thought they should do. Now we're adding a burden on top of that. So I think the way we unburden people is unburden ourselves with our feelings. So to your niece, I would say that there's not a place where you should tell her what she should do, but your support and your letting her know that you know that divorce cannot be, even the thought of divorce is not an easy thing to think about. And that there must be some pain involved. And when you express that you understand the difficulty of even thinking along those lines, understand that something must have gone wrong without crying, and let her know that you're praying for them, whatever decision she makes, that you're praying that it'll be a right decision. Are the children involved?
Yeah, but they are not infants or nothing like that. They're pre-teens and teens, yes. Mm-hmm.
And even at that, they cannot be unaffected by a divorce, but that you're praying that even they will be able to endure or sustain, because they've already endured something if there's a divorce even in the talking. So that they would be healed and that there would be some kind of peaceful resolution. So I think that that's the best you can do in offering, not that they would stay together, not that they would pray and work it out, not that they would go to counseling and see if they can overcome this, just that you're praying for them to be able to have a peaceful resolution, whether it's together or whether it's apart, that you're praying for both sides. You're praying for the children. And that way, I think it's not getting involved in their business to the point where you're trying to control or that you're trying to impose your feelings on them that they should be together because, after all, the Bible doesn't sanction divorce or, after all, God can fix everything. You know, that those are the kinds of things that add a burden rather than giving grace and a relief.
Mm. Mhm. Yes, sir, man. There will come a time.
And by the way, Brother Cooper, let me just say to you, I wanted to get on tonight, but you know, tonight is this is Valentine's Day, and
okay.
I do have I am going to be exiting a little early tonight.
All right. All right, brother. That's understandable, sir. Because you don't want nothing to be said in the way of feelings being hurt, nothing like that. So,
amen.
I don't think the feelings would be hurt. It's just that there are some. It's Valentine's Day, and I want to spend a little time with her. That's all.
All right. Hey, well, listen, I appreciate you taking the time out to come on. I really do.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
And it's I would imagine a lot of other people are doing the same thing because there's no one else on the call except us. But that's okay. That's okay also, you know, because God is in total control of everything that's taking place with the power of forgiveness.
Amen.
And the power of forgiveness is about to go to another level. And for those who are with it, you know, here we go. But for those who are not, you know, because I had asked Minister Love earlier today, I said, our distinguished families, you know, some people that we call as distinguished families has not been aboard. Some people who have been classified as our distinguished families, they haven't been aboard lately. And sometimes those, you know, when you talk about feelings, you got to pay attention to the signs. So with that being said, I hope and pray to God that everybody who is the families of the power of forgiveness will come aboard. I think what I'm going to do is call for a meeting and try to get everybody on, just us, and have a discussion about where we're going, because I feel like I'm, like I just said, I feel that I have gotten in my breakthrough. I've come to my breakthrough right now, and ready to go. All right, Pastor. You have a wonderful, wonderful evening. And
thank you, sir. And you do the same. I'm praying for your health and
Minister
Love,
prayer,
it's good
please.
To hear you. I'm glad to hear you doing well as well.
Yes, I am. And keep me in prayer. Next Wednesday, I will go and I will go to one of the ministers for the board of being ordained, and then after that, the ordination, I'll go before catechism. So I'm excited. So just keep me in prayer. Thank you. You have a good Valentine's. Please. Enjoy your lady.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Beth. Have a great evening.
Thank you. Y'all do the same. Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Well, Minister Love?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Looks like it's just you and I against the world. Look like it's just you and I against the world. But I'm not going to keep this line open for some people out there listening on the internet. But that's okay, too, because they need to know that we're about to make a change and go into another level. Because I'm going to post the blog, the ad on the Facebook page, describing what's going to be taking place. And I'm going to do that this week or before the.
Okay.
Well, yeah. All right, sweetheart. So I don't guess we can talk offline. We can get off this call here and talk offline. So anyway, you have a great and wonderful evening. I'm going to call you directly in a few moments, okay?
And, okay, that'll be fine.
All right. Have a good evening.
All right. Bye-bye. Good night.